Generation Goat. I'm John Martin of listen.com and songs2savedyourlife.com. And with me, as always, is E. Christopher Clark from geekforce5.com. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
It's going. You know, I have a bit of a cold, but...
Yeah, me too.
Nothing that can't be solved by CeeLo.
It's that summer flu season we hear so much about.
Yeah,
CeeLo, for the people. We had to bring it to you. You're probably going to hear it in the middle of this podcast. You're probably going to hear it at the end of this podcast. And, you know, sorry at home if you're offended by profanity or gratuitous uses of 60s soul styling in music. But good Lord, that's a catchy song.
And there's nothing wrong with that song. That song is perfect.
I found it over on the Fuel Friends blog, and at the time she said she had listened to it maybe 20 times on repeat, and and then I immediately listened to it 15 times on repeat, and now I see she's crossed it out and it says 40 plus times on repeat.
I have only listened to it once or twice. That may have something to do with the fact that I have children around the house, but
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty catchy. I'm not sure if I caught my kid singing it that I'd be sad.
I'm gonna say
we're doing a bad job.
I might not be sad, but my wife might be sad.
Dang.
And the people at daycare might be sad, because my daughter Kaylee, when she latches onto a song, will sing the fuck out of we'll sing the hell out of that song. Why am I censoring myself? She will sing the
after
fuck
her
out
podcast
of
opening
song.
it's all gone now.
That song a whole lot. She might get the lyrics wrong,
yeah,
but she will just sing and sing and sing. That's how that's actually how she came to be obsessed with Hey Soul Sister by Train. She heard it on the radio once,
right,
and just kept repeating it until we bought it for her on iTunes.
Well, that's so interesting. I'll keep that in mind if I ever get into some sort of fight with your wife. I'll just mail your daughter a mixtape of offensive music.
You know, I actually, for a while, I stopped trying to do this because it was an exercise in futility. I was building a playlist in iTunes that was called the Safe Playlist, right? And I built it by excluding songs that were either explicit in iTunes,
right,
or that I marked explicit in the notes,
yeah,
based on stuff that I'd bought outside of the iTunes store. Because there's no way, and this is stupid, there's no way in iTunes to mark a movie or a song that you import as explicit. Like, you can't tag it. There's no switch anywhere. Maybe there is if you monkey with the code, but there's no switch anywhere to say this is explicit. So, you know, if I don't want my daughter to listen to Nine Inch Nails right now, there's nothing I can do about it unless I try.
I bet we could put her to sleep with like A Warm Place and some of those further down the spiral tracks, which were a little sleepy.
Well, further down the spiral puts everyone to sleep, but I digress.
It's kind of true, actually.
I had an argument once with a friend about what was the worst Nin record, and this friend and I are equally obsessed, and she was all like, Fixed, and I was like, fuck you, Fixed is, you know, Fixed.
Hey,
is
there's our cue, play it again.
Sorry. Fixed is not the greatest remix album he ever did, but it's got Screaming Slave, which is great because half the song is just a guy, a performance artist, screaming as he's tortured. But it's mixed
It is
and, and this is in the days before auto-tune, before like using vocals in this way. It's really mixed so that his vocal of him screaming is an instrument in the song. Anyway, so I said, she said fixed, and I said further down the spiral, and we both thought each other was being blasphemous. And I'm like, are you kidding? Further down the spiral is not, you cannot argue, is the worst.
It's a tough call. It is a tough call. I
that or the perfect drug remixes.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know. If I had to pick between those two, I'm not sure, because I can think of like one track on both of them that I like, or maybe two, but.
Right. Well, Over Down the Spiral does have Piggy, Nothing Can Stop Me Now, which we saw performed at the Nin Bowie concert.
At the Nin Bowie concert.
Yeah. So it does have a couple of redeeming things, but it's those three tracks, The Art of Self-Destruction, number one, number two, number three. One of them is called something different. That really just are completely just self-indulgent, and I don't know. I mean, the dude was on drugs, and that probably explains everything.
Although, you know, that's not always a bad thing for musicians.
No, it's not always.
When I think about a lot of the music I like, although I did see it can be a problem. This week, Scott Weiland fell off a stage, literally, and his backing track kept playing, so he pulled a full-on Ashley Simpson, which was impressive.
Scott Weiland backing track. You know, I, in addition to the problem with auto-tune, which we've discussed, like, I'm not as against auto-tune as you are, but in addition to the problem of auto-tune in studio performances, I do wonder sometimes, because of the concerts I've been to maybe since college versus the ones that we went to when we were in high school and college, I wonder whether there are more people using backing tracks than ever before, because the concert experience has become so polished that I wonder if they're, you know, with Nine Inch Nails, I think Trent got off drugs and they just got much more professional, to the point where they lost some of the edge maybe, but with other bands, I just wonder, you know, they're getting up there in years, or they're whatever, they want to, they're making their money on concerts, so are they trying to make the concert sound even better by doing things like backing tracks?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a confidence thing. Like, you know, some people, for whatever reason, you know, their voice doesn't really seem to age in a way that they lose it. You know, like, I was just watching, I posted last night a Peter Gabriel thing, and, you know, Peter is 60 now. You know, and he was doing this version of Here Comes the Flood, and there are a lot of, you know, kind of higher, stronger notes in some of the versions of that, and, you know, I wasn't really hearing them, and then at the end, they just came out in a kind of seamless way, and it was like, you know, it's obviously live, it's obviously acoustic, it's obviously in a room with other people, so it's still there, and, you know, I think he has maybe slightly diminished confidence, but they still come out, and I think for some artists, because the industry is in such a poor state, there's a lot of pressure to, I gotta do this as well as I can, you know, at all times, and even if that means I have to be computer assisted, you know, I have to make sure that I don't crack, you know, and I don't know, I don't know about you, but when I go to a concert, I don't expect a perfect performance. I expect a semi-unique experience, you know, and if that means that they get halfway through a song and they're like, oh God, I can't do this. Yeah. Fine, you know? I mean, because fine, it's a little disappointing if it's my favorite song, but it's also, it makes it a little more real, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite concerts have been the ones where things always seemed like they were on the verge of falling apart at any particular moment. I mean, the very first show I went to, Nin, with Pop Elite Itself and the Jim Rose Circus. That was a show in and of itself. And then Nine Inch Nails with the Dresden Dolls back in 05. God, 5 years ago. And I don't, those are the ones that stick out in my head immediately. There didn't seem like there was going to be as much that went wrong in that one, except in the Dresden Dolls part. Couple of times, and they still managed to put on a great show.
See, I'm okay with that. I like the controlled chaos. If I went to every concert and it was just like hearing an album live with a bunch of people. I wouldn't enjoy it as much.
I mean, I'm forever colored by the fact that my very first concert, a staircase collapsed in front of me. People leapt over my head.
Exactly.
You know, that's not controlled chaos. That's chaos.
That was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. And I mean, as a writer, I've tried to recapture that moment in three or four different stories. I mean, that's what I want out of a concert experience. Even when I go to see Billy Joel, I guess, you know, Billy isn't going to give me that.
I would be kind of scared if you could get Billy Joel fans to act like Nine Inch Nails fans, considering that they're probably all in their 50s.
I did go to see Billy Joel at the Fleet Center once, which is actually, I don't know. I've been to a couple since then. I was going to say it might have been the best show I've seen at the Fleet Center / TD Garden.
Hey, we saw REM there, man.
We did, but it was the very first concert they had there, and they were working at all the sound kinks. That was a great show, but they had, I remember the sound wasn't.
Well, all right.
Up there, well, we were in the nosebleed seats. We had a security guard accosting our very, very sick friend, saying that she looked like she was smoking pot. Like, or that's the impression that I got. Maybe she had some cigarettes in her pocket. I remember the guy said, there's no smoking up here.
I'd kind of forgotten about that experience, yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, no, but and we ate at Burger King before it.
I also went back to the Fleet Center. I too saw Billy Joel, Elton John, because this girl in my English class had an extra ticket, and I was like, oh, yeah, cool, we can be friends, let's go. And so, I ended up there as well. Okay, we're 10 minutes in by my counter, just a little over, and there goes street cred. I'll just mark that down so we can put it in the transcript.
Yep, transcript, show notes, yeah, street cred gone at 10 minutes.
There we go. All right, so you want to talk about, I don't know, My Little Pony now?
Ah, My Little Pony. You know, I could talk about My Little Pony. I have a 4-year-old and a 4-month, though. I have girls in my house.
That's true. But you don't get to have, like, 80s girl stuff, except maybe My Little Pony. You won't have Strawberry Shortcake or...
They do have Strawberry Shortcake.
Easy Bake Oven. Really?
Yeah, they do. I've seen it. My daughter doesn't have any Strawberry Shortcake, but we do have...
Can you rock the She-Ra, or is it too soon for this?
Oh, you know what? No She-Ra out that I know of.
Damn it.
Might have to go on eBay, get some She-Ra.
You know, the sad fact is I always preferred watching She-Ra over He-Man.
I'm kind of with you there. Because I was a little bit older than my brother was the He-Man person. Yeah. I'm a little older than my brother. She-Ra came out a little bit later. So, you know, She-Ra.
You know, it's pretty funny. I think my prejudice at age 7 or so was that He-Man was for dumb people. I'm pretty sure that I didn't like He-Man because my friend Brian liked it. And I thought Brian was kind of dumb. And somehow, some way, at age 7, I decided that She-Ra was the more intellectual of the two. So, clearly, I was meant to study English for pretty much my whole life. That's true.
So, no She-Ra. There is some My Little Pony. We have tons of Disney princess stuff.
Right.
Good
to start those unrealistic expectations nice and early.
Yeah. We have, right. There are a couple of Barbies. Actually, if I ever write another Pop Bubblegum Trash album, which I might, RPM Challenge comes around next February, there's this lyric that it's not even a fully formed idea yet, but I'm sure that I saw it because I had female cousins. I didn't have any sisters, but I had female cousins. This phenomenon of the Barbies ending up naked on the floor and their clothes elsewhere. Yeah. And so there's this not fully formed lyric in my head about hot blondes lying naked on my floor so I'm not quite sure where that goes, but I saw Barbie sort of sitting there on the bathroom floor once, and I'm just like, okay, this is interesting.
I don't know. What kind of Barbie did you get your kids? Is it like
Barbie? We didn't get Barbies.
Well, okay. So you said there are Barbies around.
There are. Other people got us Barbies.
So are they like the beach Barbie, or are they like executive frumpy Barbie?
No, none of them are executive frumpy Barbie. None of them are, no beach Barbies either. There was one who was dressed... I have to pause for a second. Up at the corner of my screen, I just got a notification. Fuck you.mp3 was just added. at the beginning of the podcast, John sent me over the MP3 of the CeeLo. Here we are breaking the fourth wall. I didn't even have the MP3 on my computer yet. Anyway,
there's her cue.
Seeing the message that said fuck you.mp3 is on your computer.
Ta-da. Awesome. I was hoping to wait till your kids were in the room, but
sorry. There's a Barbie with like a she's kind of like a dress up like Night on the Town Barbie.
All right.
Straightened hair and like a low cut dress. what were the other ones? There's like two or three. There's another one that maybe not a school one. I don't know.
Checking the website now.
They were sort of standard issue Barbies. Can't stand up, you know.
There's a six Barbie fashionista set. Just pretty disturbing.
I remember for a while you could design your own Barbie. And back on my old site, thatlittlebastard.com, I actually went through and designed my... This years before I had kids. I went through and designed my own Barbie. And so there are two or three of them hanging out in a corner of my hard drive. I wonder if you can still do that.
Fair enough.
My kid might get a kick out of it. She's getting a kick out of anything where she can change... She can play dress up. So, like, there's a 99-cent app for the iPhone I need to get. Because every time I go to the Apple store, she spends 10 minutes playing with this thing, just playing dress up. And I'm surprised that it's 99 cents because that seems like the sort of thing that you could charge a couple bucks more.
Right.
There is a princess game my brother bought her for the Wii where you can change the look of the princess as much as you want. And she wants to change it all the time. And she, very imaginative, she made a black princess once.
Right.
A black princess with red hair, which scared me because I once... had a thing with
it. Some of my best Barbies are black.
and on the Wii, she wants to change the look of her me character every time. So she's playing dress up a lot. So she might get a kick out of customized Barbies. I don't know. Now,
we've
totally lost the street cred.
Yeah.
Anything that we had left.
We got what are we getting there? We went from Billy Joel to Barbie in less than 6 minutes. So
yay.
All right, everybody. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Generation Goat. We'll never do this again, I promise. Although, actually, maybe we can go out in a different style. We were talking about PodCamp New Hampshire.
Yes, we were. PodCamp New Hampshire, which is October 23rd and the 24th. I hope I didn't screw that up, as I'm one of the organizers.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, PodCamp, we finalized the dates. Well, we had the dates finalized. We finalized the locations. It's at the Portsmouth Harbor Events Conference Center for the most part. For part of the day on that Saturday, we'll be over sort of across the parking lot at the Hilton.
Not like in the parking lot.
No, although...
PodCamp is outside in your cars today, everybody.
I mean, theoretically, here's a little bit of dirt. I'm not going to go down on anybody. That would have been bad. I'm not going to get down on anybody in particular. There were some venue snafus.
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to be in one place the whole weekend. We are not. So the moving over to the Hilton is a little bit of a trade-off. And we did talk about doing something in that parking lot on the way over there. Because we got to get people... from one location to the other without losing them. And one of the things we're thinking of doing, aside from in the parking lot, is we need to find a big draw for the afternoon that's going to be over at the Hilton. We need people to like want to come back after lunch and not just...
All right, so we're not putting ours before lunch. I get it.
Not before... But I was talking about it, and that we were talking about it. I'm like, well, I wish I was a big draw. And they were trying to convince me, these two or three people I was with, there's like, you are a big draw. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
No, you're not. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Don't be nice. But I did think, you know, we are starting to get kind of, we're starting to get some listeners here for Generation Goat. And
it's true. I actually saw a spontaneous mention of Generation Goat.
I know. And so if we were to do what we've talked about, which is how not to record a podcast, which would get people who don't know, they're true. Like, oh, well, that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek title. With the people who are fans, like the two or three of them.
Right. We could actually probably record that in my car.
We could record that one, but we could record it in front of a live audience after lunch on at PodCamp on that Saturday. That we could be the marquee attraction.
Yeah, I should mention that spontaneous reference I saw to our site was on GodHatesGoats.com. So, just throwing that out there.
Oh, but, all right. Well, you know.
Well, actually, no, it was, and I apologize, sir. I've forgotten his Twitter name now, but there was a friend of yours on Twitter.
Yes, at one word headline.
Yes.
Wait, is it one word headline? It's not one word headline.
Who said that he wanted to play magic with us after listening to our podcast. And wow. You know,
yeah.
One, I mean, points for actually spelling my name right. Thank you, sir. And, you know, wow. I haven't played Magic.
It is one word headline. I couldn't remember if that was. It's his name is Randy or RT.
Awesome.
And he runs device-magazine.com, which I will have something coming out on, oh my goodness, very shortly, which means I need to write it.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
It's a exquisite corpse, a multimedia exquisite corpse project. And people just, I didn't actually knew. I'm going to admit something. I did not know what an exquisite corpse was.
I was going to say, does this have to do with the Poppy Z. Bright novel of this?
Basically, it's somebody starts off the story or starts off the narrative with something, story, piece of art, whatever, and then it continues to the next person with story, piece of art, whatever. I did part of the first one, which was... Something Porcelain. Was it Chasing Porcelain? And the new one is... the first one was Chasing Porcelain, and the new one is called She Was Gelatin.
Yeah.
So I'm up next on that. Anyway, so it's really cool that One Word Headline is following us.
Somebody listened to our goat.
I know. And the aforementioned listener that we always talk about.
Right.
The one that we knew we had, Mr. Andy Hicks.
We should probably stop talking smack about him.
Yeah, we probably should. I was at and sadly this will not be out before the run of the show is over, but I was at a performance of his musical, 2010, Our Hideous Future, the musical, at the Boston Playwrights Theater. And he was actually talking up the goat. So we've got fans, man.
I can't believe it. Well, you know, thanks, guys. You know, the fact that I've been doing this instead of, you know, actually finishing my degree now feels worth it, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, well, you know, how many people will read your dissertation?
Right? I'm not even reading it at this point.
I know I asked you about it once, and you're like, you don't want to read it.
No, I mean, I'm happy to let people read it, but at the same time, it's like so hyper specific and kind of out there.
Yeah, but that's what a dissertation is supposed to be, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, eventually I will turn it into a really unexciting book that like two people will read. But yeah. Oh, dissertation. But I'm almost done with it. I've now left composing mode and I'm officially in editing mode, so home stretch, and in just over 3 weeks I'll be coming home.
That is pretty exciting. And are we going to record goats more frequently, you think, when you're back?
Maybe.
I mean, I just noticed this will be the second, well, depending on when it gets edited, this could be the second one in August, and I don't know if
we could do it.
Have we done two in 1 month yet?
Way back when, I think.
Way back when we did, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking we had, but you know.
Once upon a time, they were almost, you know, bi-weekly.
Yeah. It's just, you know. And there's nothing wrong with this guy. See, I think we're building slow, right? We're building slow. We gotta work up to that podcast network status
by episode 600, we'll get there. Yeah. Yeah, we're not quite Kevin Smith, who now is apparently in like 20 podcasts a week.
No shit, right? I looked at that the other day, and I was like, I don't have time to listen to all these. I have, as of right now, I don't have iTunes open. I have something like 50 podcasts backlog.
Yeah, I've got like
five or six weeks for most of the podcasts I listen to.
Yeah.
And I was like, I cannot add more of the Smodcast Network right now. I can't. not enough time.
I mean, I did listen to the new Smith Muse one, the Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, and it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, or unsurprisingly for Kevin Smith, but surprisingly frank about Muse's drug use and how that all turned out. And yeah.
Is it supposed to be ongoing, or is this one that's only going to be a few episodes long? Because I guess they have a lot of ground to cover, but...
I don't know. I mean, right now it just sounds like it's pretty open-ended, but... Yeah.
Well, with this Smaud Castle thing that he's put together, which I think sounds very interesting, the deal is they'll record lots of stuff there, but they'll only release stuff that is sold out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like... It reminded me of something, and I could never remember what it reminded me of. It's the way that football works, actually. If the stadium doesn't sell out, then the games can't be broadcast on TV. So weird. That's why the Patriots always manage to find a way to sell out every game, even the ones in the freezing cold and snow, because otherwise they couldn't broadcast the game. Something like
free beer after halftime. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, I mean, they've got 50 seats, so it can't be hard to sell out certain things. And what I think is really interesting is he's doing things like reaching out to Amanda Palmer and Neil Gaiman, who are going to go in and do something in November.
See, and that's just beyond exciting. I need to check that out.
I want to fly to LA. My brother has one bedroom in some random person's house that he rents. And as I say, I crash on his floor, and I have done that before. So,
you know, oddly enough, I'm actually going to have to go to LA, I think, in January to do some job hunting.
Okay. Is MLA in LA?
Yeah. MLA, for those of you who are not English nerds, is the Modern Language Association conference, and it's kind of the, I don't know, what would you say? It's the big literary party of the year, right? Like, everybody shows off work. But more importantly, everybody does the job interviews.
Right.
So
I worked for an organization for years that, when it started, was sort of the anti-MLA. And in fact, this year I was just looking, because I was doing a publications page for eChristopherClark.com. I was going back over the ALSC's website. Sorry, ALSCW now, which is the Association of Literary Scholars, Critics, and Writers.
Right. Because apparently scholars and critics, it wasn't clear they do any writing. Sorry.
Well, you know what? I was in on the decision, and the reason they wanted to add the writers is because there are lots of novelists and poets and
I see
that nature who were not feeling like they were, who were maybe less likely to join up because they were not specifically mentioned in the. Anyway, I think it's too long and say that now that I'm not an employee, but. Anyway, I went to their website, and they are actually doing things with the MLA now, which is going to piss lots of people off. I know this for a fact because I was in on meetings where some of the original...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generation Goat's first lawsuit. Sorry.
Anyway, so they are teaming up with MLA to do some things. I need to find a job, too, so it's quite possible that it would be a justifiable expense for me to go out to...
See, there we go.
MLA, you know.
Now we
what weeks is that?
It's going to be the first week in January, I think, or maybe the second week in January.
Yeah, so my class, I'm assuming a lot here, my class is at Lesley. I usually get two classes a semester. Don't start until the end of January.
Yeah. It's really, really scary, actually. I'm teaching two classes again in the fall, and I've gone from the position of, oh, they're nice to have the extra money while I'm in grad school, to, oh, God. I really need this money. Please don't take it away from me. Please don't make you feel good. Please don't take it away.
Yeah. I had a moment of sheer panic yesterday where I was going on to the intranet for Lesley to sort of start planning my syllabus. And I looked at the days that my class was meeting.
Right.
And they were not the days that I had worked out with my wife's workplace. So... I thought my classes were on Tuesday, Thursday. They're actually on Monday, Wednesday. And I was just like, oh, crap. I need that money. And now is it going to be? I'm not going to be able to teach these classes. And if I can't teach these classes, this place that has given me work every year, every semester for the past 3 or 4 years is going to say, fuck you, pal.
Play it again.
You're going to ditch us with 2 weeks before the semester? Yes, play it again.
That would be rough. That would be rough. Did it work?
Anyway, it turns out that Monday, Wednesday actually works out much better for my wife's workplace. So I actually made people happy by screwing everything
up. Nice. I love it when that happens. As someone who routinely screws up my life and the lives of people around me, it is nice when occasionally that's for the best. It's I really am just an instrument of chaos. It's pretty
How did we get there? I don't know.
I don't know. We were probably talking about Barbie.
Yes, we got from Barbie to MLA.
Although, did you ever notice, and I will say, like, going way back to the Barbie thing, because I was thinking about this, that, like, of all the, like, I was thinking about She-Ra, and then I thought, it's not so weird, because a lot of the guys that I know, when they think back to old cartoons, who do they think of first? The girl character, you know?
Yep.
Thundercats, you know, who are we thinking of? Chitara.
Yeah. And then, I remembered her, but I didn't remember her name, so I'm glad you... What about Silverhawks? Was there a... Was that even the name of the show? I can't remember.
I don't remember. But, you know, Voltron, most of the guy ones kind of jerks. You know? Legend of Zelda? Zelda.
But interestingly enough... the female characters were always the hardest ones to find the action figures of.
It's true. Yeah. And... Because boys don't want to play with the girl toys, but
You don't want to play with the girl toys because that was too close to Barbie. But you'd watch the shows with the girls on them.
It's true.
Transformers, my favorite show, didn't have any girls on it until the movie. There were no female Transformers until after Transformers the movie, when RC showed up.
I thought there was like a Ladybug Volkswagen thing or something.
I really don't think so. I don't think there were no female Transformers before RC in the movie. There may have, I think there was an Alita one who was related to some other one who they were like the first Transformers. She might have been mentioned. I don't know if she actually appeared.
Wow.
But RC was the first female Transformer. You couldn't find RC to save your life. Maybe they didn't even make an RC. And I'm not even sure that there were any female characters, because you had Spike and was Spike the dad or Spike the kid? I don't know. You had the dad and the kid, one of whom is played by Shia LaBeouf in the movies.
The movies really are just garbage.
The first thing I got on we may have already talked about this on the podcast, but the first thing I got on Netflix when I got it was Revenge of the Fallen. And I was like, well, you know, I didn't hate the first one, but I didn't like the first one. So let's check out the second one. And the second one was just terrible. It was just horrible. And to know that they're making a third one is just, it crushes me. I want to go back and watch the original animated movie, and I want to go get all of the original animated series, which is out in like a boxed set now. So
hey, check this out. Wikipedia, which brings us... all knowledge, has an article on female Transformers.
Nice.
Which claims that they were seen in the 1980s animated TV series, in which they were indicated to be rare and believed extinct by most other Transformers. They did not appear in the American Marvel comic book series, where it was specifically stated, although later retracted, that Transformers do not have genders. So, and there's kind of a list of individual female Transformers there, so... So there we go. There are actually quite a few of them, but apparently quite obscure.
So. Yeah. Well, that's why I need to go back and rewatch the series. Dig out my Transformers toys, too. I'll play with them.
I never had one. I never had a single one. No.
No Transformers?
I never did. I don't know why. And all through third grade, my whole life's aspiration was to get a Dinobot. I wanted a Dinobot more than anything in the whole universe. Even... You know, then when family members started dying, I was like, well, I like my grandmother, but Dinobots. You know, it was
true. And you've never gone out and purchased one yourself?
No, I never have. Well, now I don't want them because they're tainted by the movies.
Okay. But we'll see. Well, we'll have to do. Run,
so I was okay.
We should have a list of podcast topics. And one of them has to be, we're going to take down my big tub of toys. Nice. And I will take out my Dinobot and let you play with it.
Wow. All right, but this is it's been a long time coming, so we're going to need to build some other stuff. I'm going to need to build a little volcano baking soda, right. And we're going to need to get some other stuff going on. So
okay, all right, it's, all works for me.
It's going to be a lot of work.
Did you ever have okay? And we mentioned Smodcast earlier,
right?
And I'm catching up on it. I'm like 4 episodes behind now.
I'm like, I'm on the most recent one now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of live ones I have not. I have listened to. But in one of them, Kevin and Scott are talking about Star Wars. Well, first they're talking about G.I. Joe toys, and then they talk about Star Wars toys. And they make the claim that every kid, even if you didn't like Star Wars, had the land speeder. Now, we're a little bit younger than they are.
Yeah.
Did you have the land speeder?
I did not have a land speeder, but I had a Han on Tauntaun, and I had... I think I had an AT-AT, maybe.
I had the land speeder, and so I was wondering, but I was like, I don't know if it was as prevalent as they thought it was.
I don't know. For some reason, I never had a lot of those things. Like, I was a really nerdy kid, you know, obviously an intellectual She-Ra watching kind of East Coast kid. So I never had a lot of that stuff. I remember wanting very specific toys because they looked incredible in commercials. Like, there was, you know, I would have probably killed someone to get the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. But then you realize it doesn't come with any of the very expensive airplanes, so it's kind of useless at that point. I had a G.I. Joe airplane at one point. And
I never had any of the Decepticon Transformers, which were all the airplanes.
No, my friend Tim did, but I never did. And I had the Voltron Castle and the large lions. And
I had the large lions. My parents still talk to this day about how they had to search all over the airplanes for those.
Apparently my dad had to go to, like, I don't know, Soviet Russia or something to find.
Yeah.
It was tough. So they were kind of, you know, weird lions. But, and I had the Voltron Castle, which had a hidden room, which was kind of exciting. I still have the Voltron Castle. We used to live in our band basement, and I would hide it before band practice.
That's why I never saw it.
It's true. Like, I think Andy will make fun of me. I'm going to put this away. You know.
Andy, who just wrote a musical and put on a musical that is based on, like, having seen Max Headroom too much as a kid. You think he would have made fun of it?
Which is out on DVD this year, the collected Max Headroom. So there you go. Actually, I think it came out this summer. Which I was a little too young for, to be honest. It was always on before Friday Night Videos, which was kind of like the network's answer to MTV. And, you know, it would come on and my dad would watch it, and I would just be like, why is this stuttering thing on my television? Can we watch something, you know, grown up like She-Ra? I was really excited about She-Ra. I'm not sure why. I think, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should have met a girl like She-Ra.
Maybe. There's still time.
Sorry, Nora. If you could, like, get a winged horse and a sword, we can try to work this out.
There you go. Just, you know, get Nora a blonde wig and a tiara.
And a Pegasus.
And a Pegasus.
That's right. That would be exciting. Can you imagine showing up at your high school reunion with She-Ra?
No.
So where'd you two meet? Oh, where was that? Was that an Enchanted Forest? I think it was an Enchanted Forest. Yeah, she was flying around in her Pegasus. And,
you know. She-Ra rocks a pretty conservative outfit when she's not She-Ra. Was she Princess Allura? Is it Laura? Allura?
Gee, I don't know, Chris, who never watches She-Ra.
No, I didn't say I never watched She-Ra.
Yeah, was she from a planet like Etheria, maybe?
Etheria, yeah. It might have been it.
It's Princess Adora, apparently.
Okay, all right. Well, I was close. You know. It's always it's something like that.
So, yeah.
She-Ra, yeah.
She-Ra. Way to go, everybody. It's actually really surprising how long the Wikipedia entry is on She-Ra. I think there are some serious geeks in the world. So, anyway, She-Ra.
She-Ra. So, in non-She-Ra news, well, that's not news. I'm not sure.
I don't think we have any news, except apparently get the collected She-Ra on DVD.
I was like, how do we transition from She-Ra? I think that's we've transitioned back to She-Ra a number of times.
Oh my goodness, She-Ra is on Hulu, dude. I'll link that up in our show notes, which, by the way, we joked about, but for you know, the one or two people at home, we are actually going to provide some notes with the podcast to some of these random things, and we're going to try out two methods, I think, for the first couple episodes, and we'll see how it works. I'm going to make, in case you don't know, we have generationgoat.com now, which is the new home of our podcast. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make a regular post with the MP3 that is the podcast, which if you subscribe in iTunes or some other service will show up. And I'm also going to make an enclosure with a PDF, which will have links and maybe some pictures or, you know, whatever. And that should get distributed by iTunes. But just in case, visit generationgoat.com, pick up the show notes. Absolutely. Sorry, just figured I should throw that in there before.
It was very cool when that popped up. And that is all John, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I was bored.
That's all right. That's how podcasts are born and websites are born.
And also, I was annoyed because the software that runs our podcast kept trying to pick up the MP3s from other things and throw them in our podcast. So I don't know if anybody noticed this, but for 6 hours one day, there was a Bruce Springsteen track in our podcast. And I was like, I definitely don't have legal permission to distribute that track.
No, not at all.
Oh, my God.
That's not good.
Yeah,
I did not notice.
It went away. I took it away, but yikes. So yeah.
Generation. So yeah, we'll be doing some show notes, and you've recently done a little bit of work to listen.
I have, which, you know, maybe still needs a new name. Maybe I've just decided to keep it. I wanted. Actually, I was kind of inspired by your redesign. I had wanted to the kind of newsy things, you know. I had been making these collection posts, you know, the things I should have mentioned, and, you know, linking up a ton of stuff at a time, but a couple of people mentioned, and I was starting to feel like maybe it was too many things at once and stuff was getting overlooked, and so I've taken that category and segregated it from the main page, and I've made a news page, which I can update more frequently. So if you are getting more traffic in the feed, sorry, but I think it's for the best, because now I can still update the site sometimes when I don't have a lot of time and maybe it's still interesting. And that way also, like, the features on the main page don't get pushed off within half a day. So
yeah, I mean, that was definitely part of the inspiration for my redesign and why I did it that way. And I suppose I should apologize for the increased traffic in the feed for my readers too. But it just works out better that way, because I don't have to save everything up.
Yeah.
It's like two sentences at the most, and a couple of links, and there's the post. And enough, it's easy enough that I can do it from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to make it easier, because I don't do it from my phone that often. But actually, some of that's beyond my control. I just want to export right out of Google Reader into the feed, and I have yet to find a way to really do that.
Hmm.
It doesn't have to be Google Reader either. I just want to go out of my RSS reader and just go, boom, here you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so you've got a news section. And I like the idea that the news is there. You've got it over in the sidebar, the last five or so, and people can click news to get more. Same as on mine. I got three.
Yeah.
And then they can go look at the other stuff. You know, it's...
I mean, I think
it's a good way to do it, because you want the features. And this is one of the things that my smartest fans and the people who think about this stuff were saying to me before the redesign was, we've got all these things that start to generate conversation, but then they go away because it's a standard blog and things just fall down the page. So everything about the redesign was meant to continue to encourage conversation on the things that are getting the most conversation.
No, it's true. And I think actually at some point I'll start, you know, maybe adding like a, if people ever actually start commenting more frequently, you know, putting a recently commented or kind of thing to just mark where the discussions are, or maybe most commented or something like that. But
I wonder if people comment on music blogs as much as they comment on other things. Because one thing that I'll end up loading up, and I'll load up the site and I'll load up your last few posts. And so, like, I'll have them there to listen to either in the background if it's audio or cool. You know, listen to, and I'll download stuff, but then I'll forget to comment. I don't know whether.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I have to, actually, I need to, you know, the little music player that I've been experimenting with, the little pop-up music player, which if you've never tried it, is in the sidebar at the top right. And it you know, it has in it almost all the MP3s from all the posts, so you can kind of listen to it in the background, and you know, which is kind of nice.
That is sweet.
But I need to get updating on that because I'm a little bit behind. But I like it, and it's nice because you can go browse the web and do other stuff and still listen to the site. So
yeah,
it's kind of a nice way to do it. Eventually, I want to, you know, change it so you can download the track straight from it. But
yeah,
all stuff to do once I've graduated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, I was thinking about this while we were talking about one of the posts that I just put up. We were talking about conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my guess is because you haven't graduated yet, you won't have many things to add to this list. One of the things I put up was a summer reading thing, what I've been reading this summer. And it's actually generated more comments than I've gotten in quite a long time.
Good comments?
Yeah, people sharing what they've read. And that's great because I'm always looking for new things. And like music, I need other people to tell me.
Right,
because I'm not finding it myself as much anymore, and of course the people there and on Twitter and Facebook helped me pick what the next book I was going to read was. I'm doing Nick Hornby's High Fidelity.
Oh, it's so good.
And I people misunderstood that I was asking, would you read High Fidelity or Juliet Naked? I actually have both of them, so it was really just which one am I going to read first.
Oh no, no, I understood, but. Yeah, for me, there's really no choice there.
Yeah. So what have you been reading this time? What would you add to that list? Is there anything you've been reading?
Yeah, I read this really great book about print in... God, you know, this is my great shame. I mean, I'm the English major who doesn't read books.
Well, you do read books. You just said you read a book on print in... Print in what?
Yeah, this is really the thing. I mean, all my books are about, you know, early modern print culture at the moment. One day I'll get to read for fun again, and I don't know what I will do then. The most recent book I think I read for fun, I read the new Chuck Klosterman collection of essays, The Eating the Dinosaur, which, you know, was funny and interesting as always. I always look forward to his books coming out. Looking back at the sad bookshelf in my room, no, I'm the worst person ever. Don't do what I do. But yeah, no, definitely High Fidelity is a good way to go. And actually, there were two books, and I have them, and I can't remember the name, that he put out. They were collections of essays about books that he was reading. There was a magazine series that he wrote, which I can almost remember.
Yeah,
which you might very much enjoy.
I should check it out. I mean, I've only gotten a page into High Fidelity. It's the same page. I've read the first page about a dozen times now.
Oh, there's so much good stuff on the other pages. You should try them.
I know. Well, I would always pick it up in the bookstore, and it was recently on my most recent sort of had a gift card book buying binge that I bought it. And this time I only got a page in because my daughter needed me. She was scared of something.
Ah, there it is. Sorry. Shakespeare Wrote for Money, which is Nick Hornby and Sarah Vowell. And
and I like Sarah Vowell.
Yeah.
She's This American Life contributor.
Which I think also before it was, I think that might be the collected one. It was The Polysyllabic Spree and House.
Oh, you let me borrow Polysyllabic Spree. And I read that. I really liked that.
That's where that went. All right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't still have that.
I don't know. If you returned it to me, it's in my car, and I'm not actually in my car anymore. So
I think I do have something of yours somewhere. I'm looking over at my bookshelf.
That's all right. I finally got my lost DVDs back. So
yeah. Speaking of lost,
yeah. How's the rewatch going?
My rewatch, you know. Well, we sort of floated the idea on Twitter and what have you that we would talk about Lost. And we've been talking about it here on the podcast that we'd talk about Lost for a while.
We talked a good game about Lost. Yeah.
And then we don't deliver.
That's kind of like my life. Don't take that away from me.
you know, because I was like, well, you know, John might actually have time with his dissertation. I don't know what I was foolishly thinking.
I've been watching some of it again.
Yeah. I have not made an attempt to rewatch the whole series. I started making an attempt to rewatch season 6, and I got 3 or 4 episodes in, and I realized that I was not going to get through it before our next podcast. And so then I just started picking and choosing ones that I thought would be important to watch. And so I think I watched the first 3 or 4, which is the first 2 parts of the finale. So LAX, what Kate does.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I watched the one after that. Yeah. It wasn't a Saeed one. But Saeed figured heavily into it. I don't know.
Maybe what we should do.
I skipped forward to Saeed killing everyone or helping everyone get killed. And then I skipped to the Richard episode. And then I skipped to the last.
That was really good. I liked that one a lot.
And I did the Desmond episode and then the last few. Yeah.
Maybe what we should do is, seeing as we're going to be able to in the future, we should sit down, watch an episode or two, and then go to both them.
Mm.
You know, and whatever else. But that way it'll be fresh.
Yes, that would work. I can see that working. Especially this fall where I have some more time free, you know.
Because
I'm unemployed except for 2 classes.
I hear you. Woo!
Maybe that'll change. Hopefully that'll change if officials out there are looking. I am looking for work every week.
We'll teach for food, man.
We'll teach for food.
It's really just because you didn't do a PhD like I did. If you had done a PhD like I did, you'd be unemployed with 2 classes. Damn it. Just damn it. That was really the thing. Like, I was thinking the other day, I was looking at my student loan debt, which is 6 figures. Right. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, all right, let me just be clear. Before I started higher education, I was working a computer job that paid me $27 an hour.
Right.
No, more. And I could play video games at work and come and go whenever I felt like it. But I was bored. So I decided to go back to school. And originally I was going to study history, and then I ended up doing English and history and some language stuff. And so now it's 10 years later, I've spent a 6-figure amount on my education, and I'm overqualified for every job I apply for. And I'm making considerably less money and have now disqualified myself from re-entering that field because I haven't been training for a decade.
Right.
Damn it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to go to high schools and warn kids. Kids, don't go to college. Don't do it. Because you know what? Pat McCullough, our friend, one-time friend, dropped out of high school, went to work for Yahoo, and retired at age, 19 in Costa Rica with millions of dollars. So kids, don't go to graduate.
I don't, mine is not 6 figures. I did a BA and an MFA. Although sometimes I think about doing a PhD.
Don't do it, man.
I know.
Don't do it.
And I went on one path for a while where I was working tech, I was working marketing, and then I decided to go work for a nonprofit, which was rewarding but didn't pay as much. And because it didn't pay as much, and because there weren't bennies, until near the end, I had to work a second job.
It's true.
Teaching, and then I got burnt out, and I'm like, oh well, let's go back to tech again. I want to work in tech again. And it lasted 3 months, and now here I am. And what you can say for yourself that I can't say for myself is that at least you've pretty much stuck on a path.
Yes.
And it may not be paying off. It may not be paying off now. But,
yes.
But it will eventually pay off.
Well, you know? I get 2 things out of it, right? Like the first thing is that I will eventually get to be Doc Martin, which is, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I almost did a spit take. Sorry.
It's true. I was waiting for it. Yeah, so that'll be nice. I get my students to refer to me as Doc Martin.
Right.
So well done, everybody. And the second thing I get out of it is, oh, well, no, that's it. Yeah, you know, sticking on my path is, it's a bit like that one guy who's like, I know we're lost, but we're going to get there. I don't need to stop. We keep driving. You know, it's kind of, yeah, we passed the turn, you know, miles ago, and I'm still
going. Yeah.
If we drive far enough around the Earth, we'll come back. So shut up. You know, it's,
I mean, there's something to be said for enjoying what you do and not being bored. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If when you're working on something that you really, really are excited about, as I was yesterday,
yeah,
you sort of forget to do lunch. You forget to take a shower. You forget to go to sleep sometimes. And when you're surrounded by it, you forget that you're unemployed. You forget that you're struggling with things.
That's good.
And, but, and then you're like, well, you know, that's all well and good, but I do have to pay bills and I do have to eat. But I somehow, your bills get paid and somehow, or they don't get paid and bad shit happens, but somehow you still eat food and you still have some place to sleep. Somehow it all works out. And that's, you know,
yeah.
Maybe we're a little bit old to be doing the sort of starving artist slash educator slash liberal arts thing, but I don't think so. I mean,
I hope not, because I'm coming home to live at a friend's house in their spare room for a while. So
well, and we're gonna lose. I mean, we're gonna lose our house because we're still up on our payments, but we'll be out of our house and in an apartment sooner than later, I think. Maybe not. I mean, it depends on when I get a job and where I get a job.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's quite possible that we'll be in an apartment again. And we're okay with that because, you know, what you own is also very we don't really own anything. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, I dreamed about owning a house. Right.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we saved up the money to own a house and whatever. But we don't really own this house. We're paying on a mortgage, and we'll be paying on the mortgage for 25 more years if we stay here. What's the difference between that and rent? You know, I'm sure I own my car.
Well, I guess there's the whole, like, home equity, like, theoretically you're accruing some sort of reputation kind of thing with banks.
Sure, yeah. I mean, theoretically, but we bought our house in 2005 before the crash, or 2004. 2004, before the sort of housing market started to go down, and we're paying just to get up to what it's worth now. Like, we owe more on it than what it would sell for on the market, and that's actually what's prevented us from selling it.
Yeah,
and trying to get into a better, more economical situation is we don't have the money to pay the realtor because we would lose money on the sale, and we don't have the money to pay the realtor fees.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, money will work itself out. That's kind of where I'm trying to stay at. It's really, you know, it sounds like glass half full bullshit, but
what else can you do? Right? Yeah, exactly. Welcome to this very positive special episode of Generation Goat.
Well, yeah, I mean, we started trying to talk about Lost, and somehow we got into...
Then we talked about what we lost.
What we
just
lost.
Stayed there.
Our jobs, our minds.
Don't do a PhD, man. Don't do it.
Do a PhD. Well, when I thought about doing a PhD, I thought about doing a PhD at the University of Hawaii, because at the time, it was the only one that was offering an English PhD concentrating in creative writing. It was the only one that I could find.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't looking hard enough because I said, ooh, Hawaii.
yeah, that could work. Yeah.
You know, I probably will not. Although, you know, the MFA for me as a creative writing teacher is my terminal degree, but for now.
Yeah.
Now they are having a lot more creative writing PhDs, and eventually it will not be the terminal degree, and maybe I will have to go back.
I don't know. Whatever you do, just stay away from the PhD. It's poison.
Well, I would love to be Dr. Earl or Dr. You know, that in my dad as a DJ had his DJ name was Dr. Earl.
That would be before hip hop.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He even had a hat that that said Dr. Earl, like stitched into the hat. It's hard to even describe what kind of hat it was. It was one of the like low to the head with a short brim, kind of like not quite a newsboy's cap. Anyway, he had one that said Dr. Earl on it. And
can we get a photo of that for the notes? Yeah, and we throw that in there.
Put that in the show notes. I don't think I have a photo of it. Wow. Anyway, so I've always kind of dreamed. I was like, I would actually have them say Earl Christopher, like Dr. Earl Christopher Clark or something.
But then again, what, you know, I laugh at your dad's funny name, but his band did once open for Aerosmith, so
it did. Yes, yeah, Crystal Prophet.
So what can you do there? I mean, you know, our band never opened for Aerosmith. So.
Him and the Jay Giles band—they both opened for Aerosmith.
That's insane. All right, well let's try end on some happy notes. You've got the new book coming out, which we have to plug again.
Yes, All He Left Behind, due out in September, provided me and the designer can finish the darn thing. It's pretty much done. There's one thing that the designer needs to work on, and then we send it off to the printer. So All He Left Behind, and I'm setting up radio and video, well, not video, but radio and print things. I've got a list of people I need to contact. Hopefully there's going to be a reading in Portsmouth, and there's definitely going to be one in Nashua.
Groovy. When's that?
Nashua will depend on, it'll probably be part of Word at 99, which I host there. What's that?
Can I come?
You can come, yeah. And it probably won't be September, in the September one, because the September one will be too early in the month. We're moving to the second Saturday of the month.
Okay.
At least I think that's what we're doing. We haven't announced it yet.
Okay, because I won't be back yet.
But the second Saturday in October might very well be a reading there
awesome.
At Studio 99 in Nashua, at a book signing. And then Portsmouth, I don't know yet, because they very wisely do not start to book people until they actually have the book out.
Right.
Because they can't make, you know, how are they going to make money? This is my perception, is how are they going to make money on a reading if there's no books to sell? So once I have the book out, once they can order some copies, then we'll talk.
Groovy.
So yeah, that's me. Book coming out. And I am returning to directing for 10 minutes.
Hooray!
At the end of September, beginning of October, for An Evening of Robot and Steampunk Theater. I'm directing a play, and one of my plays is being directed, so
awesome.
Double Chris fun.
I don't know. I've been in one of your plays. I think I might be busy that day.
Yeah, I'm still trying. I'm trying to finish casting very shortly, and I'm getting some good suggestions from my friend John Herman. He got people, but I'm also thinking about friends who.
what the listener at home didn't notice was the uncomfortable moment where Chris went, "Yeah, you were in one of my plays." Was kind of hoping to go in the direction of talent.
No, you know, here's the thing. I actually thought about casting people that I worked with before, because you were going to be back in time.
Uh-huh.
And my friend Jason is around, although he has to drive. He would have to drive quite a while. But the roles are all a little bit older than people that I know. And so I'm kind of like, well, I could go younger, but I kind of want to stay true to the script. And so I've been waffling back and forth on that. And a lot of this is predicated on the fact that I already cast the oldest of them, which is this father figure. And so the other person is a son. And so the son has to look like he would be about the right age for that. And so anyway, so
cool.
It's been a tricky process for me because I haven't directed in 10 years.
What's the play about? Can you tell us?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit. It is about a a son trying to reconcile with his father after his father's death. And the father's personality and memories have been implanted upon a mechanical host, which fits in with the robot's theme.
That's where I went wrong when my dad died. Should have had a robot.
Should have had a robot. You know, could have dug up Robbie the robot from your old Nintendo. You know, that was...
That's where it all went wrong. Good thinking.
You know, yeah. No.
That'd be weird, though, because my dad would never sleep. Right? And I mean, you know, back in the day, my dad would go to bed and then I could, like, do stuff, you know, that I couldn't do when my dad was, like, watching.
Yeah.
And now that'd be awkward because he'd be like, why are you making me sleep in the garage? I'm like, there's good stuff going on in the house, you know? And,
yeah. Yeah. It'd be awkward.
Weird.
Yeah. So
does that run on Windows or is that like a...
I don't know. I'll have to ask the playwright.
Nice.
Which is John Herman, the same guy I mentioned. He
crazy.
He is helping me with the casting, which is great. And I don't know who's directing mine. Mine's a play called War Is Coming, which is about a which my attempt to combine both the steampunk and the robot elements together. It is a steam-powered robot who was built by the U.S. government to predict forthcoming wars. That's sort of the centerpiece of my play.
Interesting.
And so I don't know who's directing it, but I'm really interested in finding out how that's going to work.
And when and where can we see these things?
I believe they go up September 24th. And the really cool thing is that John Herman is the producer here, and he's put together, it's a very multimedia project. So a bunch of plays came in, mm-hmm. 9 of them are being produced. The rest of them, at least I think all of the rest of them, maybe a selection of them, are being published in a Creative Commons anthology so people can do what they want with them.
Cool.
And musicians and comic book artists and other visual artists have already signed up to do things, so stuff will be coming out along with the play for all the other plays.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's really, really cool. It's a neat project to be part of.
Well, I think I'll be there, man. I should be back, so I'll come and cheer and say, yeah, you can really tell Chris directed this one, because...
I hope that... Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty nervous. I mean, I'm excited but nervous, because I don't want to screw up. I mean, I'm directing the producer's script. You know, the guy in charge, I happen to have landed his script.
You can do it.
You know, but it's a great script, and so I don't... And I'm getting lots of good actors involved, and
awesome.
So I don't think it'll be bad.
Cool. Well, that's really fun.
Can blame on me.
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure to tell people.
And what have you got going on aside from coming home? That's
coming home. It's going to be a really miserable 3 weeks before I come home. I've got to edit like crazy so that I can get approved and print and submit. And, you know, there's 4.5-ish years of worldly possessions that I've got to pack up and figure out how to ship to America without breaking the bank. And, you know, so I mean, there's all the boring logistical stuff. In terms of the website, I've had some ideas about Songs That Saved Your Life, which has been kind of sitting there minding its own business, and what I want to do with it. I'm actually sort of toying with the idea, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, I was sort of toying with the idea of either making kind of a series of connected short stories of, you know, quasi-fiction, or something like a novella out of some of the ideas I've had for that. And way back when I was at Cambridge, I started writing a play based on some of the similar themes, and I stopped and I thought I might actually start working on that project, seeing as I'll be out of one writing project and presumably without one for a little while. So that's, you know, something I'm toying with, and it's very fledgling. In terms of the other website, the more immediate stuff, this coming week is all about digging through the mail and getting people's submissions up. I feel really bad because I've had some really great submissions and they've just been sitting there for like a month and a half, and I feel like a jerk.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about submission, they probably got an initial burst when they first sent the stuff out, and maybe you give them the next burst. I mean,
yeah, maybe.
Here's me, glass half full guy again.
That's true. I can just bring them back. That's what I do. I'm bringing it back. So yeah, there's that, and I don't know. I'm just looking forward to coming home and, you know, doing fall in New England stuff, because fall in Old England sucks. Mostly it just rains a little. The weather's the exact same every single day.
Right.
You know, the leaves don't even change most of the time. You know, the leaves just kind of turn yellow brown and fall on the ground. They don't, there's no red, there's no orange, there's no, you know, zazz. And I mean, it's, you know, something I miss. I miss New England in the fall. It's actually my favorite season. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I'll get to see you and go and find a way to make fun of Ken Mills while watching your play, because that's tradition. And
it is tradition. There's no Ken Mills mentioned in the play.
Well, it would be Billy Mills.
It would be Billy Mills. There's no Billy Mills in the play. There is a Billy Mills in the book. I need to mention this now on the off chance that that Ken Mills listens to the podcast, because he's like, I'm not interested in the book unless I'm in it.
That's right.
And there is a Billy Mills mention in the book. But
We should tell the Billy Mills story one day.
We should.
That was kind of amusing to just, and it's actually it's recorded, right? Like, you can hear it in the audience.
Yes, you can.
In one of the recordings, so.
You can, and I have that digitized, so we could actually grab that audio.
Nice. We should totally include that. We'll write a little preface, maybe for our next go, and just shove it in there. So it's great. If you want to see Ken Mills humiliated in public, why not? So nothing else too interesting. Although one last thing I was thinking about, because you said that you were talking to the Andy, and he was saying that he wanted to come to Fun Spot with us.
He did. He was like, "Can I go to Fun Spot with you guys the next time you go?"
That's crazy. And yes, Andy, you can come to Fun Spot the next time we go. Which. I mean, I think Nora's interested in going as well, and she's coming for a little while when I come home. So it would probably be, just throwing this out there, you know, sometime towards the end of September, maybe in that last week, or maybe in the first week of October or something like that. And I don't know, maybe we'll announce that we're going there to Fun Spot, and if anybody else wants to come.
There you go.
Come say hi.
I think that could be fun.
That'd be exciting. And, you know, you can come and we'll give our stalkers all the info, and you can end the podcast once and for all by electrocuting us or something.
You can watch John play video games with his feet.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I can do it. I don't know. Some of those old trackballs are really hard to move. I think I'm just like gorilla limbs. But. All right. So anything else?
No, except to say that we got through an entire podcast without mentioning auto-tuned wolves.
Auto-tuned wolves? Oh, sorry. I forgot that in real life things don't just happen when you yell them out.
Oh, sure they did. Don't tell the listeners that it didn't just spontaneously happen. It'll happen in the podcast. We don't want them to think that we put that in there ourselves. It just happens when we say auto-tuned wolves.
Wow, you're right. That totally just happened. That's amazing.
When we say fuck you, this happens, right?
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I was pausing for effect very dramatically. I didn't want to disturb the podcast. I think, as a public service and maybe not true to form, we should just include the whole track, I think, at the end of this.
I don't think CeeLo's gonna sue us, you know?
Yeah. Well, all right. Maybe just some of the track. But totally go check it out, because, oh my goodness. Yes. Oh my goodness.
If you haven't seen it, heard it yet, you should hear it.
And just clear the better part of your afternoon, because seriously, mine went on repeat and stayed there. And apparently it's a common problem.
So right. without further ado, we should have CeeLo take us out, right?
That's right. CeeLo, take it away. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.